Good evening and welcome. You're watching The Big Fight, the oldest running debate show on Indian news television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. All through last week, it seemed that the most important issue of pressing concern for this country is what exactly is inside the 22 doors of the Taj Mahal, or how soon should we resolve a dispute as far as the Mathura temple is concerned, the Shahi Eidgah mosque and the Mathura temple conflict. And then, of course, Gyanwapi, which went to the court. Now, we are not saying that these issues are not important. But the point is, if you take a look at these cases individually, they are court cases. For instance, in the case of Mathura, the court concluded that the Mathura court must immediately hear all these cases and dispose of these petitions by hearing all sides and pronounce a verdict in the next 4 months. Over. Technically, the story should be over there. As far as the Agra case is concerned, Taj Mahal, the gentleman who's a BJP leader, by the way, who was the petitioner, was told by the court, if you're so interested in knowing history, why don't you join a university? Go do PhD. Don't waste the time of the court. And the petition was dismissed. And in the Gyanwapi case, a survey has happened. While we debate on what is the ultimate motive and what needs to be done, is the BJP planning to do another Ayodhya? Is that the political messaging behind these court cases? Or is this purely an academic exercise where people are curious to know what exactly is there inside? Was it a temple or a mosque or whatever? But when you dig the truth, then is there or could there not be a case where buried under the Mandir Masjid discourse could perhaps be an extremely important issue of pressing national concern, which should ideally be an issue of pressing national concern, something which is going to impact our life on a day-to-day basis. And that is the inflation and the price rise truth. Is that what is buried or hidden behind these doors, behind these locks, under the masjid structure? Is that the political motive to hide the inflation and the price rise truth? Let's put this to a big fight. I want to introduce our guest this evening. We've got Mr. Amar Patnaik. He is a Rajya Sabha MP from the Biju Janata Dal. We've got Dr. Shashi Panja, is the Minister of State for Women and Child Development in the Government of West Bengal. Supriya Srinath, National Spokesperson of the Congress Party. Professor Govardhan Das, BJP leader. And we have Mr. PKD Nambiar. He's a political analyst, supports the BJP. The format of the show is that all of you get 1 minute of opening, 1 minute of time for your opening comments. We call it the first punch. I would like to begin with you, Professor Govardhan Das. Your time starts now.
Yeah. So, good evening, all of you. See, you brought the two issues, that today's economy and the Mandir Masjid issues. That entirely two different things. Let us talk about the economy. Economy today, inflation, of course, the inflation. Inflation is a global phenomenon today. And if you look at, that's not only the India, all over the world, economy is inflation, economy is down, inflation is high. And that's, understand, this is, we had the severe lockdown for a long time, and we had to deal with 1.3 billion people with the COVID. And then if I come to the Mandir Masjid issue, this is nothing but our fundamental core. We have all right to know what is our history. This is, in as you know, that actually the thousands of the temples been demolished and then be converted to mosque. Not only the
time up, Professor Das. I'm going to come back to you.
That is what
Supriya Srinath.
Thank you very much, and good evening to the viewers as well as the co-panelists. Inflation, and that's retail inflation, is at an 8-year high, at nearly levels of 8%. Food inflation is 8.5%. Fuel inflation has crossed levels and is now close to 11%. But this government is not even going to look at the IIP data. the industrial production, the factory output data today is at less than 2%. So this is a double whammy. Growth is down, inflation is up. We're in a stagflation situation with no jobs being created. What should the priority of the government of the day be? Priority number one to priority number 10 should be taming in prices, should be creating jobs, should be pushing growth, should be pushing manufacturing. What is the priority? We all know, you've spelled it out in the beginning itself. And this is not the first time we are seeing the government digress from the real issues. The issues that you raised, under which the real issues are being masked or under which the real issues are being buried, are being created precisely to divert attention. These are weapons of mass distraction to distract away from the real issues that really matter of the day, which is unemployment and price rise.
All right. Mr. Amar Patnaik, your opening comments, sir.
Given the fact that there is inflation across the globe in all economies, across jurisdictions, I think the figures were not really very surprising for me. But what is really worrying is the fact that rural inflation has gone up by 8.4%. And that's where I think the problem is, because rural economy has been hit both in terms of demand and now by inflation. So the power to purchase, of the rural people has gone down, and it's getting into a spiral because the freight rates are likely to go up because of increasing oil prices. And I think that's what the government should be concentrating on, because the rural economy is under stress, and that's what has to be revived.
Okay. Okay. Dr. Shashi Panja. Yeah. Your opening comments
to all. This is what, I think, Sanket, I couldn't more than agree with this topic of the evening today. It was absolutely necessary that we should discuss. You see, those who had promised us an Amrit Kal budget and also of a 5 trillion economy and Achhe Din, so just look where we are. I mean, all our previous panelists have said and acknowledged the statistics are there. You know, this constant denial, to deny the ground reality. That is what is very sad. This apathy is extremely sad. And to say and to blame COVID for everything, or even for the Russia-Ukraine war, will be wrong. Because this contraction, the growth contraction, took place in the fourth quarter of the financial year 18-19 and even 19-20. So this government will not submit that they were not prepared and that they could inability to foresee. So this is where we stand. This is hard reality, unemployment, extreme poverty. We are all sliding towards poverty.
All right. Dr. Panja, I'm going to come back to you. PKD Nambiar, your opening comments.
Well, good evening to everyone. And the bottom line today is that, yes, there is. We are all going through a crisis. Food inflation is a reality. And fuel price hike is also equally a reality. But we are not an island nation wherein we are well disconnected from the global economy. The global scenario today is that every economy across the world, whether from the US to the Europe, almost all every economy is affected because of the war which is going on. And before that, the COVID challenges. I would say that our economy is still standing much better than all these economies. If you really look at it, if 8 years, the highest inflation today in India, of 8 years time, 8 years high, but in the US, it is 8.5%. It's more than the 40 years late, after that, this kind of inflation rate has come up. So when it comes to the, you're changing the topic of from a food inflation to the fuel price hike to the Mandir Masjid, I think they both have no connection. Both have got equal importance in our life.
Okay, Supriya Shinet, our cultural let's begin the big fight. Supriya Shinet, PKT Nambiar as well as Professor Das are saying that these two topics are totally different and there is no correlation. Somehow it appears that the manner in which anything remotely related to religion starts to get promoted, particularly by members of the ruling dispensation. For instance, the Taj Mahal petition was filed by a BJP leader. He was pulled up by the judge. Similarly, there are a lot of comments that you see. You know, the intensity of these comments tend to rise, particularly around the time when the debate has to be on something else. So do you really think that these are two totally different issues, or an issue propped up to make sure that an inflation debate does not happen, you or know, doesn't capture the mind space?
There may be two different issues, or there may be issues created for distraction. The reality is that the government of the day has to decide its priority. What are you going to be investing your time, energy, emotion, and focus on? Is it going to be to create jobs? Is it going to be to tame in prices? Is it going to be to address the rural and the urban unemployment situation? Urban unemployment is at close to 10% levels. Let's get real here. Let's understand what's happening. Or is it going to be to continue to distract people? Whether it's a hijab debate one day, it's a bulldozer debate the other day, it's an azan the next day, or it's the Taj Mahal. And where is this going to stop? Today it's the Taj Mahal, tomorrow it's going to be the Lal Qila. Look at what the courts have had to say. Forget about political parties. I frankly believe, while these may be two different issues, but one is being created to distract attention from the other. Because if you do not distract attention, then the very youth, jinko aap talwar aur pistole dekar shobha yatra mein chalwa rahe hain, wohi puchenge. Where are my jobs? Why are prices so high? Why is, a cylinder in Maharajganj costing 1,068 rupees? We talk about, fuel prices. This is what it is at. Why is the government of the day, instead of doing anything on itself, to do something?
Professor Das, how will you respond? You are saying that these are two totally different issues. Supriya says that one is being used for distraction.
No. See, this is, she can correlate anything to anything. So that's not the issue. See, the fuel price going up is a global phenomena. Today, if you look at the fuel price in US, it's a 40% up. So basically, it's not that. And second thing, she's saying government is not looking at it. Government, how do you
Professor
know government is looking
you know,
at it? Government
can, is
of course
looking
at it.
Professor Das, we have spoken to enough economists who say, Mr. Patnaik also wants to come in. One more. Yeah. Mr. Patnaik first.
I want to make a very short point.
Please, Mr. Patnaik. Supriya, I'll come back to you with Mr. Patnaik.
The point is that the thrust on economy and the discussion on economy, if you look at the last sessions of the parliament, the budget session, both in the first half and the second half, there was enough discussion on this issue, and rightly so, I thought. The big point here is that there are the current inflation is due to supply side problems. There was initially a discussion on demand side problems, but now it is actually a supply side issue, and supply side issue is on account of oil, both edible oil as well as fuel. Edible oil has risen by about 17.58%. The flour oil that we used to get from Ukraine has got affected. Correct. Now, government probably has very limited scope in this, except that, you have to look for substitution kind of a stuff, but in a very short term.
Can I please make a point?
And secondly, the finance minister very clearly said that this inflation, which is rising, it is not just a month-on-month phenomenon. It's happening for the last 1 year. And it is largely a supply-side issue. So, and the oil prices, again, because of geopolitics. Now, both these two things have actually affected the rural economy. And that's where I have said it in parliament. This thrust of the government has to be to create
on
demand.
Rural economy. Exactly, because if you look at rural inflation numbers, they are higher. They are about 1% higher than urban inflation. In fact, in some states,
exactly
rural pockets
are double digits. So it decreases their purchasing power parity. And when you introduce a monetary policy using interest rates, it affects the...
Okay, Supriya Shinet.
Whatever pending items like buying a tractor, buying whatever, it gets more expensive.
Right, sir.
Supriya Shinet.
I just think, let's not miss the woods for the trees. What I'm saying here is, that when prices of crude oil were low, when they went to levels as low as $20 a barrel, did Indians gain out of it? So let's not give the government excuses of a war or something else. Our economy was ruined before COVID started. During COVID, when crude oil plunged to levels of $20 a barrel, prices did not go down in a country. In fact, the government chose to profiteer from the common man's pocket. And please do not read inflation in rural areas and in urban areas in isolation. Please also read the unemployment numbers. Unemployment numbers are much higher today for urban areas, and that explains the correlation. If you understand, people in urban areas have lesser purchasing power today, and which is why inflation is a little lower in urban areas than it is in rural areas. And guess what is keeping the urban rural areas alive? MNREGA, that the Prime Minister chose to call the big failure of the UPA. That is what is keeping the rural economy chug along. I hope you'll be thankful.
Okay, Dr. Panja, and then Mr. Nambiar. I'll come to you, Professor Das. No, Dr. Panja.
Yeah. It is this, as I said before, it is this complacency, you know, and the investment in the Central Vista project, or be it the investment, you know, it's all misplaced at a wrong time. And just look at the electoral campaigns which were conducted, and look at the throw and look at the thrust on issues discussed during electoral campaigns in the five states which happened. We are a globally hungry nation. We rank 101 out of 116 countries. How can you deny? How can you deny that? So this is where we are saying, and diversionary tactics are not going to help. I mean, you constantly divert the attention to other issues. As I said, you see, Central Vista project was important. The moment you fight against it, then your second parliament is more important. So at a time when you're talking about COVID pandemic, when we are saying that the Russia-Ukraine war, then why did you continue to invest in these? I mean, why did you stop that? And look, what were the social welfare programs or your accountability to the people? Because our constitution says we are a social welfare state. Mm. So we are supposed to look after the people. It's no big consolation to say to the Indian consumer or to the Indian democracy that you see the worldwide situation is like that. So you have to bear up with this. I mean, it is so easy to say that. Just think of the hunger. Just think of the child who's suffering. Just think of the Indian nation. And in that, we had the farmer strike. And again, as we said, the farmers were there for
and that's exactly
year,
why I come back to the point. To these are uneasy questions, Professor Das. And that is why an engagement in a totally different type of debate, which you call an equally important issue and a separate issue, according to me, it almost appears as if that is the hidden truth buried right under the Mandir Masjid discourse.
I can see whoever other fellow panelists, definitely they can talk. But Madam Shashi Paja should not talk about all this. West Bengal, the economy, what they are doing, they simply destroyed, they closed down all the industries, and they live on, survive on cut money. And they said they should not talk about all this. Yeah. So basically,
he has no idea of what he is saying.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. Central government owes us 98,000 crores. You do not devolve the taxes to the states.
You do not have
really
any
cooperative federalism.
So you will give to the BJP states, but not to the opposition-ruled states.
And you tell the opposition states, why don't you cut down on the petrol and the diesel?
Can you deny that? You get up and you say that you make a figure 98 crores. You do not have any idea how much
no,
money
no, no. Not 98,000 crores.
98,000 crores. You do not have any idea.
Crores.
Actually, you get up to 4,000 crores.
We have written to the Prime Minister. It is in black and white.
It's in the public domain. I have seen all the
figures. Can you deny that the central government
has also taken
a debt of 155 lakh crores? Can you explain that?
So
the union government has taken a loan of 155 lakh crores.
Dr. Panja and Professor Das,
I know the exact figures.
One by one, please. Mr. Patnaik wants to come in. Mr. Patnaik, your intervention.
So, I also wanted to flag one issue since I'm in Chicago, and we just had a discussion on inflation with Professor Raghuram Rajan just yesterday. And we said that India, he was of the opinion, and I agree, that India is probably following the right recovery path in terms of investing in capital expenditure, which is, in fact, translated into creating demand. And that is why probably indirectly you see that the GST collection has been increasing over a period of last 4 years. So let us not talk on the capital investment of whatever kind, because it is translating into creating demand. What is that we have to concentrate on is how to get the supply chains right, given the geopolitics that we have. the temple discussions and masjid discussions that has been going on throughout the year in this country doesn't really matter. I think what is important for the government of the day is to address this. And one more important thing is that many state governments, if you look at the data, many state governments like Tamil Nadu have done better compared to the national average because of state level policies. And I think we need to also do the same. Every state could actually get their supply chains right as quickly as possible so that the food inflation is contained and maybe also wean people away from some of these
That's an important point. Supriya Sinet, you see, all through COVID, I think one of the points that was being made was, yes, Mr. Nambiar, I'll come back to you. Supriya, all through COVID, it was said that demand is not there. There is a demand side problem and we are fixing the supply side problem. What Correct. Mr. Patnaik seems to suggest now is that it's actually the opposite now.
No, how is it the opposite? I don't understand, because the latest GDP figures tell me that consumption is still very subdued in India. And unless consumption doesn't pick up, no amount of investment or no amount of capital expenditure is going to amount to anything. Please understand, 60% of our GDP is consumption driven.
Consumption in the country is still subdued.
So just one second, please get it. It's my turn to speak. I will let you speak when it's your turn. Consumption is still subdued according to the latest GDP data. So I don't understand how anyone is saying what they are saying. And as far as the GST data is concerned, I think the finance ministry owes 78,000 crore worth of revenues to states as far as compensation is concerned. So let's get down to talking brass tacks. Let's get down to
his basic point economics. Is that the GST collection has gone up. What is due may be a different debate. He's saying the GST collection itself is going up as an indicator of an increase in demand.
No, I am of a certain view that yes, corporate activity has definitely gone up. I'm reasonably certain that our consumption will also pick up. But all that I'm trying to say here is that the real problems of the day are high prices. RBI has had to intervene. This is the fourth month in a row where inflation has crossed 6%. RBI has had to come in and reverse its rate cycle. It's hiked rates. My own sense is June, there will be another rate hike. And are we going to sit here and tell ourselves that there is no issue? Because the RBI has shown you
okay.
Just last one minute left in this discussion.
I want to also get in some coup comments. Meghna on the coup app has written. Let's quickly get those coup comments on the screen. She says, is the home of a common man run by mandir or masjid? I think that's a very, very pertinent point. Vidisha says, true, government is just trying to divert common man from reality of inflation and price rise. How would you comment on this, Mr. Nambiar?
As I said, I think the government is not creating any narrative. If we have that kind of a narrative, we would not have been discussing this at this particular panel. We are talking about pure economy and data and facts. And if we are able to talk that on a primetime television show, that means the government is not doing anything. The only thing is that we always need to understand this country had gone through an X amount of a history of a slavery, of an attack to this nation. And if we wanted to redo some of those big mistakes which has been committed in certain level, I think we should always be welcome for that. And I don't think that the economy and the cultural or temple issues should be matching to each other. We, of course, please note that there was a time India was run by a temple economy. So let's not just create some kind of
it does not have any kind of challenges.
Please note the only thing which I wanted to say with regard to the economy.
Put things in context. Interestingly.
Even today, Dr. Panja, I wish I had more time to discuss this temple economy theory.
Raghuram Rajan was the governor of RBI during those difficult times, 2013.
We all know that.
One by one, Mr. Nambiar, one moment, you have spoken.
During that time of crisis, the RBI governor was Raghuram Rajan himself. One of our previous panelists was mentioning. So maybe he has something to suggest how he handled the crisis in 2013. He was the RBI governor.
When the taper tantrum happened.
We all agreed to that. You didn't have the kind of geopolitics.
But you know, Mr. Patnaik, I understand that there was no COVID, there was no Ukraine, but there were 10,000 other things. I'm not equating the circumstances then with now. But see, there'll always be challenges. And at the end of the day, anything related to the economy, the questions will be asked of the government. But the point is, thank you very much. At least with the help of this discussion, we've been able to bring the focus back to a debate which actually must be there on the television sets. Thank you very much for engaging in this debate, at least, because otherwise it almost appeared as if economy boring. Why should we do this? Thank you very much. We're stopping for a short break at this moment. On the other side, we'll be speaking to noted economists to understand their view and answer some very basic questions for the common man. How long is this going to last? How bad is it? And when will this end? All that and much more after the short break. So welcome back to The Big Fight. Now let's speak to the experts about a debate that the nation ought to have. The condition of the economy, the inflation rate, and how all of this impacts you. And when will it end? Let me now introduce Mr. Ajay Shankar, former secretary of the DIPP, Siddharth Sanyal, chief economist and head of research of the Bandhan Bank. We also have Mr. D.K. Joshi, chief economist of CRISIL, and Pranab Sen, former chairman of the National Statistical Commission. Thank you very much. We'll also be joined in by Mr. Nasir Saleem, managing partner of Flexi Capital. Mr. Sen, let me begin with you first. How worried should we be? Can you hear me, Mr. Sen? Pranab Sen?
I can't hear you, Sanket.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you once this audio is fixed.
Yeah.
I'll come back to you once this audio is fixed. But Mr. Ajay Shankar, what's your assessment?
We are in a difficult situation. There are no easy choices. And managing the economy now will need all the skill and good luck that we can bring to it. Now, why do I say this? The situation in Ukraine has triggered global inflation of a kind that has not been seen for 40 years. And there is no near-term possibility of the situation in Ukraine coming back to normal or these global inflationary pressures abating. Now, we are a little fortunate that on the food front, we are not dependent on imports from Ukraine and Russia in the international market. So the pain of inflation for the people of India would be far milder than it would be for people in many developing countries who are dependent on food imports. Now, as far as inflation on the energy front is concerned, we are an energy importer of oil and mostly oil, bit of gas, and that is a burden we'll have to bear. Now, one view could be that, yes, there's nothing we can do about it and we bear that burden. There is also an unorthodox view that if we want to really give a bit of a shock to the inflationary expectations that are being gathering momentum in the Indian economy, the government could seriously lower taxes on petrol and diesel by a substantial amount. So this would have its impact on retail prices, and that impact on retail prices of petrol and diesel would moderate inflationary expectations. It would fall to the good. The converse of that is that government will lose a lot of revenue, and that's a tough choice. Where do I raise revenues or live with higher deficit?
Correct.
That's a tough call.
Okay, Siddharth Sanyal, I want to come to you now. You see, a decision was taken by the government, by the RBI, that after a very long time, the repo rate and the CRR is going to be increased, right? Now, obviously, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is my limited understanding of the subject, this is going to suck a lot of cash out of the market in an attempt to contain inflation. But when you juxtapose this exercise with the increased inflation rate, do you think that this is in league, or this should be far more worrying than the steps that we have seen the government taking or the RBI taking? You may want to unmute yourself, Mr. Sanya.
Apologies. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes, please.
That's a very pertinent question indeed. What we are seeing at this moment, that there has been a bit of
the anchoring of inflation expectation is not really there. Inflation expectation is kind of galloping a bit, even though the growth momentum in the economy is not particularly at a great spot. Now, a part of this inflation management can be done by the Indian authorities, but a large part of that cannot be done by the Indian authorities at all, because this is very much a global phenomenon. But having said that, given that we have formally adopted a flexible inflation targeting regime where inflation is very clearly said to prevail over the upper tolerance band for a fairly long period of time, it seems that that there is no other choice left for the Monetary Policy Committee but to go ahead and to deliver a few tough steps. And we have possibly seen only the initial steps, and quite a few might follow over the course of the next few months. For example, just one quick take here.
Sure, sure.
That till about a month and a half back, the general expectation was there that if there is a repo rate hike in this particular quarter, it can just be in the month of June and maybe just about 25 basis points. Now, RBI has already delivered 40, and another 40 or 35 is not ruled out. So eventually, what we were expecting just about 25 basis points during the quarter just about a month back may eventually be something like 75 basis points during the quarter itself, and along with quantitative targeting like CRR hikes, etc. So it's quite a strong stance on the part of monetary authorities straight away.
Okay. All right. Mr. Pranab Sen, I believe you can hear me now.
Yes, Sanket.
Yes. Mr. Sen, let me ask you, number one, a question on how worried should we be about the situation? How bad can it get? And these are layman questions, right? And secondly, when can it start getting better?
Well, one by one, yes, we should be worried. I think it's pretty bad. The real question is, when can it get better? I mean, one of the things we need to accept, Sanket, is that the RBI has not covered itself with glory. Measures should have been taken at least 5 months, 6 months back, before the Ukraine war. Hmm. The wholesale price index was telling us that things were not going in a direction that we really wanted to go. Hmm. And had action been taken at that point in time, this sudden surprise move that happened a couple of weeks back would be unnecessary. And it didn't even require the RBI to raise the repo rate or the reverse repo or the CRR. At that point, if they'd only changed their stance so that people were aware of the fact that RBI was cognizant of the problem and would act as and when needed, that is enough. So what was being talked about in terms of the inflation expectations and getting unanchored, much of it has to do with that. So the RBI delayed it for too long and then had to come with a mid-cycle act. And then they're going to be forced to actually raise the repo rate again within a very short period of time. Mm. None of this is good for the economy, because it's a series of body blows that are happening. Mm-hmm. And that's something we really need to worry about. Now, the problem, of course, is that lots of indicators have not been looking good for a while. Current account deficit looks very bad. And all of this is of a piece. And this, the action should have been taken a long time before.
Sure.
But now that we are, all of that is now history, where we are, we just have to make sure that we don't do anything so drastic as to push the recovery, the real recovery of the economy, off the cliff. That is a danger that we need to be very careful about. And my personal view on the matter, this requires very close coordination between the RBI and the finance ministry. I don't know whether that's happening, but in the absence of that, we may end up overreacting in the wrong direction.
Oh, okay. That is significant. DK Joshi, what is your assessment? You know, Mr. Pranab Sen says that this was delayed action, but action has now been taken. I want to ask you, and also perhaps for the benefit of the viewers, to understand from you, till what time do we see a situation like this? I'm sure there must be some assessment. And what are the possible steps that one can take? without, as Mr. Sen was saying, affecting the recovery of the economy. Mr. D.K. Joshi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think somebody else was speaking, so I'm I shut myself off. Yes. Now, I think the point is that inflation is getting broad-based. There is little doubt. In 22-23, whether it is fuel or it is food or it is core, which includes food and fuel, I think all of them are very active. And I think the April data on inflation made it pretty clear that inflation pressure is quite high. But still, I think I would say that the pressure is largely a supply, generalized supply pressure. I think it's coming from many points. I think it's the demand in the system, the private consumption demand is still weak, and the capacity utilization is also not, I think, to the pre-COVID levels. So I think it is still a supply-driven phenomena. And in this monetary policy, of course, has a role, I think, as was pointed out, to control inflationary expectations. And also, I think it cannot bring down the inflation in fuel or in food. All it can do is to control its transmission to the rest of the segments, which is called the second round effects. Hmm. Now, but the greater role will have to be played by the fiscal policy, where I think a close calibration is required, because you have very limited fiscal space. So things that that require attention, according to me, would be, I think, the edible oil. Already duties were reduced. Edible oil is a very widespread used commodity. So I think that needs to be addressed. Fertilizer is an input into the agriculture production process. All the input costs for agriculture are rising. So I think that will result in food inflation going ahead. So I think increase in fertilizer subsidy is very much understandable. And then I think I would say that there should still be some more reduction in the duties on crude, because that has a cascading effect. So I think both the fiscal and the monetary policies will have to work together to bring inflation down. Giving a timeline is very difficult. It's like predicting when will the Russia-Ukraine war end. I mean, can you answer that question? Well, you can't. I mean, so there are too many moving parts right now. But at this juncture, I think we are facing a very broad-based inflationary pressure. And that's why the central bank had to react with a 40 basis point rate hike. And I do believe that another rate hike of a similar magnitude is coming pretty soon.
Okay. Now, Nasir Saleem, one of the things that we noted in the data that was released was that rural inflation is higher than urban inflation. How do you contain this problem? I mean, we can understand middle-class distress, they're outspoken, but what about rural distress and how can that be contained?
Very pertinent question. Good evening, Trustee Sanjeev, and all my fellow panelists. I think, inflation is an animal which is difficult to tame when it gets completely, when it's lost in its purpose. And I think the current situation is that as far as rural inflation is concerned, you see, the challenge is, as far as rural India is concerned, Sanjeev, is inflation is basically too much of money chasing too few goods. Unfortunately, as far as rural economy is concerned, there is not too much of money available. You see, because they've also been hit on account of the COVID situation. Their money supply is drained. I mean, there is no money. They were sitting in a lockdown situation. They've been hugely impacted. Laborers today have all gone back. They're looking for unemployment. They're looking for employment. Unemployment is all time high. So it's a very, it's a very peculiar situation as far as rural India is concerned. Now, coming to your perspective and specific question, Sanjeev, our opinion is that the only way you can kind of curtail, rise in food prices, and one of the major contributors to rural inflation is food price inflation. You see, because they don't use, as compared to urban, food price inflation is an all-time hit high as far as rural India is concerned. And the only quick fix, there are many options, and I'm sure, we have a very rich panel today on your discussion, but I think one of the quick fixes is that the government has to pass some relief to the rural economy. Now, whether it's in terms of direct or indirect is debatable, because again, we're sitting on a very fiscal...
No, side. But the reason why I ask you this question is, Mr. Ajay Shankar, you see, the governor, you as the former secretary of DIPP, may not want to comment on how do you tackle rural distress, but generally your opinion about what else can the government do? You see, this free food grain scheme is continuing. That was to make sure that we recover from the COVID-related distress. But from here on, how do you deal with rural distress? Because that is a huge issue of concern. You look at key rural pockets and there the inflation is in double digits.
Now, again, as I said earlier, it's a tough call for government. So one set of measures, which some of which have been taken by government and will be taken, is that you pick up bits and pieces of the consumption basket and moderate inflation there. We've done it in the past. Food Security Act provides that for the bottom of the pyramid. On cooking oil, government has done a bit. It can do much more. You can again pick up one or two other items of mass consumption and try and moderate inflation there. But moderating inflation across the board is very difficult unless you take a very big step on taxes on petrol and diesel. That's the only policy instrument that the government has. I may also add one other concern, and which is that we may be entering a phase where we have high inflation, and because of the tight monetary policy and other factors, the economic recovery becomes far more modest than we would like it to be. Because the robustness of the recovery so far has been in getting back to pre-COVID days. Now, we have to get to 6-8% growth rate after we are back to pre-COVID days, which was expected in this financial year. So one has to really see whether that growth momentum will be regained or it will be moderated, and we will be in for a few years of very moderate growth with very high inflation.
Okay. Mr. Sanyal, would you say that the predictions of the rate at which we expected to grow, that is definitely going to be revised? Or that is definitely going to go down? Because, you know, as Mr. Joshi was also saying, one does not know how long this is going to last. We don't know how long the war is going to last. We don't know how long this the slowdown is going to last.
Agree almost entirely. At the moment, if I look at the RBI's prevailing forecast of 7.2% for the current financial year, that very clearly looks on the higher side, and risks are piling up every day on the one side that it might actually pull it down. Very clearly, we are getting into a situation where the monetary policy is preparing itself to go for a situation of sacrificing a bit of growth overall in order to anchor inflation expectation, in order to contain the additional pressure on the inflation basket in general. I think in this particular context, one particular point you raised is extremely important. You mentioned about rural distress. I'll possibly see it in a slightly different way. I'll not necessarily talk about just rural distress. I think given the kind of inflation, which is very, very well dispersed across a large number of items across the index and items, the stress at the lower end of the pyramid there is a strong case to provide more policy support to the lower end of the pyramid in general. So basically, what we saw in terms of free food grains, etc., at the time of COVID and that particular shock, we possibly need to see in a slightly more innovative fashion, try to see that for smaller industries, MSME, while overall interest rates, etc., might go higher, while the ability for the government to make large-scale spending might be limited, you have to find out some small ticket areas of spending which can actually touch many lives and provide support to a large number of people in terms of employment and income. I think that's the key in terms of mitigating or providing some cushion to the growth loss.
That's an important point that he's making, Mr. Sanyal. Dr. Sen, do you feel that the announcements that were made during COVID, the various packages that were announced by the government during COVID, of course, there was a huge debate on how effective those packages were, economic packages. But do you think that there could be a need to think along those lines even now?
Sanket, that's difficult to say. The situation when COVID was going on and the lockdowns were happening was a situation where production had come to a standstill and incomes were not being generated. Mm. At the moment, we are not in that position. Production hasn't come to a standstill. However, large chunks of the economy haven't recovered. And this is mainly the MSME sector. Now, reviving the MSME sector requires a different set of measures, some of which have been done. I don't think they've been done as vigorously as they should have been done. But there are some positive indicators. You know, the fact that bank credit for the first time in the last 2 years or 2.5 years has gone into double digits. That credit growth is important, provided that it is going to the MSMEs so that this problem that you're talking about of rural inflation being higher, and the reason for that is essentially because rural India is far more dependent upon the MSME sector, which continues to hurt and cannot actually provide the kind of supply-side response that's needed. So the package would have to be somewhat different. You know, we need to now actually go away a little bit from purely providing humanitarian support, which was essentially what was done during the COVID period.
Correct.
Towards the kind of support that Siddharth or Ajay are talking about, which is support to revive growth. Okay? It's a different way of thinking about it, but growth starting from the bottom of the pyramid.
You know, we have had this debate when COVID was also happening, that you may want to offer loans at a better rate and offer it in a lucrative, make it very lucrative for the MSMEs. But Mr. Joshi, ultimately, demand has to be revived. So what's your assessment as far as the special package is concerned? A purely humanitarian form of package or a more policy-driven, long-term policy shift sort of a package?
Well, I think because inflation hits the poor most, I think we have estimated it, whether it is rural, it is urban, the poor people get hit more by rising food and energy prices. So now I think, and they need to be provided some support. I mean, I would agree because the opportunities for them are less. I mean, the bigger segment, whether it is the large companies or people in the formal area, they are all doing reasonably well even at this juncture. I think it's the smaller segments that that need support. So that there can be two kinds of support. One is helping them out so that the policy becomes a bridge to take them to the recovery path. And the second is to strengthen the recovery. I think as Dr. Sen was saying, I think so you need to have measures which will help revive investments gradually. I think particularly maybe you'll have to extend the support to the small segment for a little more time because they are the ones who are getting hit even by, I think the Russia-Ukraine war is hitting the smaller segment more than it is hitting the larger segment. The larger companies are very well placed. They are primed for undertaking investments if that is required. Sure. I think it's the smaller segment. This dichotomy, I think, can only be addressed by policy. It probably, I think the overall, even if the growth picks up, I don't think it will get distributed across the segments which are still lagging. So I think some policy support is required, but you also have to provide food grains and maybe some subsidy to the vulnerable section. That is why the budget, which was premised on the fact that they will cut down the subsidy bill and spend more on infrastructure, I think that assumption is getting a little challenged because the subsidy bill, which was supposed to come down, is actually going to go up again.
Very, very interesting assessment. And thank you very much to all of you for putting this in perspective. Otherwise, you know, we all would have been consumed by a very typical nature of debates. But thank you very much for joining us and also putting all of this in perspective. The economy is a matter of major, major concern. Don't let it get buried. Don't let this debate get buried under any other debate. That's a wrap in this edition of The Big Fight. News continues on the other side. Stay.